to the Puck Guys Podcast, the best place for top hockey news and insight with, of course, a little West Coast bias. Now, here are your hosts, Patrick Mahoney and Jason Lamb.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the 31 and 30 edition of the Montreal Canadiens. We're the Puck Guys, Patrick, Jason, and Eddie, cranking out another damn episode for you and all of your lovely ears.
Just slowly degrading as the night goes on.
Jesus.
It is.
Everybody. A little rougher.
And no, it's really not. It's just like, it just gets, yeah, it gets rougher as it goes on. Like, to be honest with you. Nah, it's
somebody's listening is like 3 days down the road not realizing this is the same night.
They're like, what the hell? Yeah. Nah, we got a lot to talk about still, though. We can't sleep on these guys because obviously they're going to be terrible, so it's worthy to chat about.
Yeah, let's bitch about these guys.
Montreal Canadiens. Oh, my God. Marc Bergevin, what have you done?
Steroids.
29, 40, and 13, 71 points. Got rid of their franchise player in Max Pacioretty, their captain. He's gone from this team. It's been talked about for Jesus, man, like 2 years now, I feel like, maybe a little less. They talked all about it, and he would always say, I'm going to be a Canadian, and I want to be here. I have no intention of wanting to be traded, and he's gone.
Yeah.
That's the big news we got to start with, though.
Peace.
He gets traded to Vegas for Nick Suzuki, Thomas Tatar, and a second-round pick in 2019. Eddie, what's your take?
It's actually a good trade out of Montreal and for Marc Bergevin for once, because...
Stop it. You can't say nice things. No
listen,
nice
listen,
things.
It's not great. Max Pacioretty was their best player and their captain. You never want to have to trade your captain, but the situation there was similar to the one with Carlson in Ottawa, where it just was a toxic situation and things had to change. And, you know, he ends up going out the door, and you know, Montreal brings in Thomas Tatar, who's obviously not as good as Max Pacioretty, but he's still a top six player, and he'll get some better opportunities most likely on the power play and in the top six for Montreal, so that should improve his production. And then the big piece of the deal is Nick Suzuki, who is probably one of Vegas' top forward prospects behind Cody Glass. He's a 100-point guy in the OHL, one of the best players, one of the best goal scorers in the OHL, and it's something Montreal really needed in their depth system. If, you know, they've always struggled with centers. Alex Galchenyuk didn't pan out. Jonathan Drouin doesn't look like he's panned out. They're trying Max Domi at center this year. So before this offseason, they had no center depth whatsoever, and now they drafted Jesperi Kotkaniemi, and now they have Nick Suzuki down the middle, which actually makes them pretty good and set for the future. So I think it was a great trade, which is pretty surprising when you look at who was the one that made it.
Yeah, exactly. And unlike the Carlson and Ottawa thing, they actually got a healthy return for what they gave up. So that's kind of the main difference, I guess, between the two, even though it was kind of a toxic situation in both cities. They got something in return, and you can't say that about too many of the Montreal trades as of late that have supposedly panned out or with the direction they were supposed to go and get better. This one actually got rid of a situation that wasn't going to get better and gave it a little bit of a brighter future with a little bit more optimism. So a step in the right direction.
I just don't see anyone on this team where I'm like, wow, that's a great player. That's a fantastic player. That's an elite guy. I just don't see it. I see guys that are
kind of
they don't
have a game breaker.
They don't. And that center depth is brutal. Looking at their center pieces there, it's just Philip Deneau, Max Domi, Thomas Pacanich.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. That's okay. It's okay. It's a third line. Either one of those guys slots in on a third line. I don't see Max Domi doing anything in the NHL at the level they expect him to. Do you?
No, I don't feel that they're in a position at this point with what they've had to do or all the bad trades they've already kind of done in a position where they're going to be super competitive at this point. They are somewhat set up for hopefully a couple of seasons because they have – just a wealth of draft picks kind of moving forward. They have all of their picks, a couple of second rounds, a couple of fourth rounds, a couple of fifth rounds just in the next draft. So, I mean, they've got some room to improve, almost kind of getting into that rebuild system. They're seventh as far as the depth chart in for the minor league. So their farm system is kind of ranked seventh. It hinges around one player, and it will always be that player for the foreseeable future. Until
PK Subban?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Carey Price. Carey Price is where they live and die, and he's not going to be as successful. The offense can, needs to kind of help out where it can. But really, this team was kind of built around Carey Price, and to build yourself around a goalie makes it volatile. It also makes it something where you better have a decent defense in front of him, because he may carry a poor team into the playoffs, but it's going to be tough for him to carry him to the cup. You need defense there to kind of help solidify that, and then you can maybe sprinkle some offense in there as needed. They've got enough draft picks to try and make offense happen, but without Shea Weber in the lineup, you know, he's gonna, the talk is he's gone until mid-December.
Let me ask you guys that.
Okay.
Shea Weber, how old do you think he is right now? Without looking at notes or...
He's early 30s.
32?
33.
Yeah.
Just turned 33 in August.
Okay.
How many years do you think he's got left of this contract?
He's got a lot. I think he's got a lot. I think he's locked
he's
down.
He's exactly halfway through his 14-year contract that the Nashville Predators signed him to.
The good news is he could retire.
A cap hit of $7.85 million a year for seven more years as a cap hit. Sure, the salary drops to like a mil in the last three seasons. So he's not getting paid a lot of money, like physical money, compared to the cap hit. But they got to ride that cap hit until he's 40. And he might not be able to play this year because, what was it? It was an ankle injury, or was it?
He had a back problem, and then it was a groin injury. I think is what he's dealing with now.
Someone quickly Google.
Google.
It's listed as
we were way off.
He had something. He had something else going on, and he was like, "Oh, that's way better." But then he like just had surgery in the off season. Like, oh yeah, that thing. That's what's going to keep me out for a while. But. That's what you get when – remember the trade when it was Subban and him straight up? He goes like, oh, we got a better player. And it's like, yeah, he might be like slightly better than Subban this season. But season's coming up. He's not going to outperform him. He's going to be on a decline. And now he's often injured. When he's in the lineup, he's legit. He still is. Even last season, he played like 20-odd games at 16-odd points as a defenseman. That's what you'd hope for, especially if he can, you know, make that a season-long thing. But if he can't stay healthy and he's already missing the first half of this upcoming season, they're doomed. There's nothing there to help Carey Price out. And you saw what kind of happened last year when there wasn't much to help Carey Price out anymore. You get a bad Carey Price.
So,
yeah, he's a future buyout in the making, I think Shea Weber is, unless he's a guy that ends up going on a long-term injured reserve. There's no way you're going to want to continue paying this guy that much against your cap for the next 7 years, especially if you're Montreal. You would hope at least in the next 7 years, if not sooner, that rebuild is going to start kicking in and you're going to be competitive again. And how are you going to do that with a 37, 38-year-old Shea Weber still making $7 million against your salary cap? I would have to think, unless he is somehow still performing at a high level, that's an easy buyout the farther you get in his career.
And he's done, I think, if he's – I don't feel like he's not – I mean, done in the sense of being an elite defenseman. He's not that anymore. You can't look at him and be like, oh, that guy's the all-star caliber player we had, you know, when we got him for Subban. Yeah. He's past that, and I think he's dinged up pretty good. They don't have anybody that can help stop the puck in front of Carey Price. Carey Price kind of fell off a cliff these past couple of seasons with injuries and stats. No. Look at his numbers last year. He was terrible last year, 49 games, over 3 goals against average, a .900 solid save percentage. I mean, I know the rest of the team in front of him is not great, but, I mean, he's supposed to be otherworldly, and we all put him there for several seasons, and he just fell off a cliff here. I'm worried about his health, one. And two, if he can regain his composure and try to help this team, because they don't really have a whole lot to look forward to beyond him. I just don't feel like they have nothing in the immediate future anyway.
Yeah, and it's tough to predict where a team is going to go when their cornerstone franchise, I mean, you say franchise player being Shea Weber.
No, Max Pacioretty.
Max Pacioretty being a franchise player. I would say they put all their money and faith in Carey Price being that cornerstone player. With that, they should have probably tried to build around, and they did a piss poor job of doing that. But the fact he's not bad, it's not that he's a bad goalie. He's had two bad seasons out of the last five.
Self-inflicted wounds last season.
Well,
he didn't look.
Last year wasn't good. It was an off season. Goalies are going to have that, no matter how good you are. You're going to have some off seasons, and when you have a team that is like that, in front of him, it's not going to help the situation. Even if he was standing on his head, I don't think this is a team that really could have competed for a playoff spot. If it's 71, if they were 20 points better, they still missed the playoff by 6 points. So there's that can't all fall on the goalie being that horrible. It's a team that had a 54-point getter as their top offensive prospect. I mean, 29th on offense, it doesn't matter how great your goalie plays. If you are the bottom three team in offense, you're going to suck.
No, it's true. They don't have any goal support.
So
They spent so much time not building around Pacioretty, and they wasted his talents, traded him away.
It's like they didn't know what they wanted to do. They had certain assets and certain positions, and they didn't know which direction they wanted to go. They ultimately went with goaltending, but they were stupid with their defense, and then they mismanaged their offense. And now they're kind of stuck in that in-between zone where, well, Carey Price better have a real good season, and everybody else better up their game because that's the only hope we have for a playoff spot. And we're not talking cup competition anymore. Not in that conference, not in that division. They're screwed. Sorry.
How much better does this blue line look if two trades aren't made? It would be Sergachev, Subban, Alsner, Petrie, Mete, and one of Schlemko, Benner, or Noah Juleson. I imagine that blue line. I mean, obviously you'd be without Drouin, and you'd be without some other players, but like that has to, or Shea Weber, but that has to be one of the better blue lines in the Eastern Conference, or one of the better young blue lines if they actually had those guys.
I can't believe they don't have Sergachev. I totally forgot about him.
Yeah,
he's so good, and he's buried in the depth chart. I feel like in Tampa, he should be up and up.
Mm-hmm.
They shit the bed on defense. They've made nothing but bad decisions with their defense. Assuming Carey Price could just carry the team, and this just kind of proves no matter how great of a goalie you are susceptible to scoring chances, multiple scores. It changes the way you play goalie. If you're constantly jumping left to right, you start anticipating that, and easy shots beat you.
I mean, poor defense definitely impacted him, but, I mean, he wasn't the same.
He wasn't, but the year before he was fine. The year before that, he was injured for most of it. But the years besides last year and then two seasons ago when he was injured, this was a 100-point team in all three seasons out of last five. You know, with the exception of that injury and how horrible he played and how horrible the defense was in front of him. I mean, Shea Weber was supposed to be that guy. Alsner was supposed to come in and help out on defense. He had a piss-poor season. You can point the finger at the goalie all you want, Pat. But at that point, it's tough to...
Supposed to be otherworldly, my man.
Yeah, he's been paid otherworldly money, so I guess...
Oh, he's got
that.
We've got that big weight on him, too, now, huh?
Yeah, so I feel bad for him.
What happens now, like you said, I think, Pat, you mentioned the center depth of this team. The fact that they traded a guy who wanted to play center that they played on the wing to Arizona to bring in a guy who plays on the wing to play center in Montreal... And then also bringing in Jonathan Drouin, who's a guy that plays on the wing, and they forced in center, didn't work, and now they're pushing him back out to the wing. So how does this work? Because they don't really have a guy who actually can play center, who has played center on a regular basis. They really only have, as true centers, Thomas Plekanec and Philip Deneau, and that's it. And then they've got Drouin, who they might eventually force back to center, or Domi, who they're forcing to center. He hasn't played center since he played in junior in London. And now they're forcing him to play first-line center in the National
League. They're insane. I don't know if it's Claude Julien or if it's Marc Bergevin that's controlling how this team moves, because it's mind-boggling. It's like you're supposed to put people who are great at a position in that position to be successful, to kind of just shuffle guys around, and you think it's just easy to shuffle forwards around. For those who don't know, playing center in the National Hockey League or in any level of hockey where you're responsible on both ends of the ice is really good – really hard to be good at. It's really just a position that takes a lot of I guess it's almost like a quarterback position in the NFL. It takes a lot of smarts, a lot of hockey IQ and sense. It's not as easy as – running up the wing is a different story. Not that being a winger doesn't come with its prices, but – a center is a lot, and just to think you can interchange like that, it blows me away. I don't know what the hell they're thinking in Montreal.
Yeah, I can't see this team really improving on the 25th best defense, the 20th on shots against and 30th penalty kill, and then to have the 29th worst offense, you know, it looks like a rebuild, and I'm just not sure if they realize it yet, but they've got the pieces for a rebuild if they just want to do it.
Yeah, they don't know what they're doing. Another GM.
I feel like they're a little confused, and they want to keep that, you know, Montreal mantra of hey, we're in, we're there, we've been close, and now it feels like they're just, we still want that, but we don't have the talent.
Is it so? That is so much as not wanting to waste the career of Carey Price or the good years you have left. I mean, these types of goalies don't come around often, and generally you don't really need an elite goalie to win, but you need a good goaltender. And Montreal's nothing behind Carey Price, and trying to find a guy like Carey Price again is going to be hard. So, I don't blame them for trying to be competitive in the last years they have for him left. It's hard to really commit to a rebuild when you can't move this guy. He's going to be your guy. You kind of got to try and make something happen while you still
have. Well, that's why they got Antti Niemi as the backup, a 35-year-old.
No, why not? You always need that guy to back you up.
Yeah, sure, why not? Yeah, no, it's tough sledding for Montreal, and they shot themselves in the foot with just god-awful trades, specifically on the defensive side of things. They actually did well with the Pacioretty thing, but too little too late. This is a team that's in a whole lot of trouble. It doesn't look like it can get a whole lot better, especially, like I said, I mean, Gallagher had 31 goals, 54 points. That's their highlight. They only had one other person over 50 points. You can't win. We can't win enough games if your top two guys barely break 100 points.
So where do you guys have them? I have them sixth in the division for next season.
Yeah, I have him sitting in six, but honestly, if Carey Price has another bad season, I can see them maybe flip-flopping with Detroit, depending on, it's kind of hard to say, but really just depending on who's worse is going to flip-flop between the two.
Yeah, Eddie took the words out of my mouth. I picture them sixth. If they were in probably a different division, I could probably see them a little bit lower, but they got a couple other teams that aren't really all
dumpster
that great
fires
to begin with anyways. So they may be out-worsened by other teams, I guess is the best way.
English, that's, yes.
Yeah, it's mostly English, really. Canadian English, right, Eddie?
Yes. I'll answer.
Yeah.
All right. Well, there you guys have it. That is the Montreal Canadiens toilet seat team for you guys there. Much to look forward to for next year, guys. You got to have to wait out a little bit longer.
Sorry.
Sorry
about that.
You guys know where to find us. Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, the Puck Guys Podcast. Log on to iTunes if you got a couple seconds here, and give us a review. I never like doing it, to leave a review, but I would encourage you to do it.
We feel you guys. This is going to suck, but just do it for us.
Imagine if we had a sponsor and be like, can you do this? Can you buy this product? But we hate it, but can you just do it for
us? I'm just saying, just go click 5 stars. You don't want to log in and leave a review. You don't have to do that. We appreciate all the love, though, and tomorrow we'll be talking to you guys with the Ottawa Senators. Have a good night, guys.
Bye, guys.